are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me. OMG, the Omara Gale Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gale. I'm an actress, author, evangelist, and a co-producer of Film the Movement, a docudramedy film that we just released. And you know what I love to do, people? I love to help folks see things differently. You see, I enjoy when a perspective is widened, when views are enlarged, because the more angles you have of a situation, the better the vantage point so that you could make informed decisions. I have been blessed with experience in all sorts of areas, and I believe in my heart and soul that we all live and learn in order to share and teach, which is part of the reason why I love sharing Maravation. And so for tonight on OMG, I'm going to be debuting a special segment that we want to offer to our listeners because I have heard you. It's called Keeping It Real with Rael. See, some of you tuned in last month, heard Brother Rael Sims, Dr. Rael Sims, and you kept asking me for more. And so we have carved out a monthly segment called Keeping It Real with Rael, and we'll explore relationships, what works, what perhaps doesn't work, and more importantly, why we do what we do in relationships. And just to give you a little backdrop on Brother or Dr. Rael Sims, he's a neuropsychologist and a relationship expert whose deep and vast knowledge of the study of science behind the action or the intent and the emotion always causes one to taste the reality of the situation. You see, we teamed up about a month ago, and I realized that this thirst needed to be taken care of. We needed to quench it, and this possible hunger to get to the root of relationships needed to be explored. So we'll explore a plethora of topics, and we want to answer your questions, those things you struggle with, those injuries or inquiries of the heart, as well as those loophole thoughts that keep you awake or in tears or just plain old confused about trying to figure out why a relationship ended, why it got off track, or perhaps how someone can move on so fast, seemingly without a problem or a hiccup, but why you seem to be holding on to or looking for the invisible door to open. Yes, we are going to chat about it in our monthly chat called Keeping It Real with Rael. And so without further ado, I'd love to welcome to tonight's conversation. And just so you know, the conversation is about why women shouldn't be faithful to their boyfriends. Can I get it? Ouch! Welcome to the microphone, none other than Rael Sims.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, Rael. Well, I'm telling you, you've got my audience, our listeners, excited, thirsty, and hungry for more. So before we get into some of our topics, because, you know, some folks is emailing me and texting me, they want to know some answers. So can you just briefly give them a little background on some of what you do so that as we begin, they understand that this doctor, this brother, this man in this conversation has a degree and understands what he's talking about.
Yeah, well, I specialize in neuropsychology, why we do what we do from an eco, bio, psychosocial, and spiritual point of view. I teach about relationships and body language. I also am certified in body language. I'm also a counselor, a facilitator, and I have certificates and degrees. And I also specialize in anthropology and biology as well. And, you know, I wanted to know a little bit more about why we do, when we talk about the conversations of relationships, I wanted to go a little deeper just so we could bring it in full circle with absolutes as to now I understand this is why we do this versus what I think, you know. And, yeah, so that's what I think. I know, I mean, it's a lot more, but
no, that's an awesome sneak peek behind the curtain of that beautiful mind that you've been using to break that thing down to the marrow and actually help us understand the why behind. So without further ado, I'd like to start off with a question that I received via text. And the question may seem simple, but I've heard several ladies ask this question, and it is what is one of the ways to keep the spark in a relationship? It sounds simple, Rael, but I'm sure you know why that spark is or isn't there. So can you share with our listeners why that may be the case?
Yeah. Well, it's very important to keep a spark in the relationship, because what happens is that we can become comfortable in that comfort zone. And if there's nothing new that's happening in a relationship, the relationship becomes very boring. I think I mentioned before about, you know, you have the people that's actually jumping off mountains, right? And when they get bored of jumping off, they actually look for a new mountain, which gives them that altered state of consciousness, that euphoria. And so the difference between you know, not adding something new into the relationship, your relationship can actually just become very boring. Now, what can you do? One of the great things, or one of the great tools that can keep the spark in the relationship, is novelty. Novelty. And novelty is adding, it's basically new things, bringing new things into the relationship, doing new things, doing crazy things, doing things that just make you laugh, fun. You know, and it doesn't cost anything, you know. So just don't allow yourself to become very boring in the relationship. And in order to do that, you just have to add new things. It doesn't take, you know, a legerdemain or a prestidigitation, a magic trick, you know, to do this. I mean, it's something very simple. You know, going to, if, you know, everybody goes to the beach, everybody goes to the movies. So let's think of something different that you can actually do that you haven't done before, and something stupid, something silly, something that will just make you guys just laugh all the time, you know. And that adds, it's something, it's a part of our brain, the substantial nigra, and that's stimulated by new things. And when that's stimulated, that also causes you to become more, it creates more serotonin and phenylethylamine in the body. It's sort of like that wake up, like the phenylethylamine is in chocolate and coffee. So you have that same reaction, that altered state of consciousness, that high. Yeah, so it's very important, novelty, to just add more new things into the relationship.
I love that. You know why I love that? Because as with all things, things get dull, things get stale, things get so mundane that we can, A, take people or situations for granted and or relationships. Two, if you aren't bringing something new, you know, it's just like when we walk out of the house, nobody wants to wear the same khaki pants and a white shirt every day to work. We add color to our wardrobe. We add pizzazz. We accessorize with ties or brooches or necklaces or belts or whatever the accessory is, the same, I'm assuming, is true with relationships. When you were talking about adding new things into a relationship, making it fun, and I'm assuming, you know, don't be afraid to be silly about some things, because sometimes just making your mate or your partner laugh or chuckle or have a moment where they're like, you are absolutely crazy. I know my sweetheart does that for me. He keeps me in stitches. I'm always laughing at something he does. But, you know, you were using all these words, Rael, and you know me. I like to break it down to the marrow. Got to get the people what it is. So you said substantia, I believe, inaugura?
Yeah, substantia,
okay.
Inaugura. It's
so when
part
I heard inaugura, so that's the scientific. When I heard inaugura, I was like, if you want to keep down the argument, inaugura is your cue. That means keep down the arguments, make your relationship new, make your relationship fresh, make your relationship crazy and fun. And then you talked about ephemine, right? Now, I won't tell you what that's going to mean. But then you also talked about serotonin. And serotonin, that's the chemical that actually kind of tells the brain that you feel something or you're moved by something or you're enjoying something. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Dopamine and the pleasure sensor part of the brain. Mm-hmm.
Bingo. Serotonin. That is pleasure. So now y'all got that, right? So now y'all heard the scientific, and then I done broke the thing down, so now y'all know how to relate that thing. Okay, so let me ask this.
Can I say one other crazy thing?
Sure, of course.
One thing that I found, one time I was standing, on the bed, my wife was in the bed.
Standing?
And, I was standing in the bed, and she was laying in the bed.
Okay.
And I started doing this weird dance that I would not do in public, and spinning around in circles and doing this crazy dance. And she was just laughing herself off. I mean, she was just laughing, laughing so hard, where she just kept saying, "Stop it, please, stop it, stop it." And I just kept doing it more and more. The more I started laughing, I just kept doing it. And she was like, "Please stop it." And she just laughed herself to sleep, you know. And and now I know anytime I, you know, want something, or I'll say, "Hey, come on, get out the bed, let's go." And she's like, "Oh, no, I want a couple more minutes." I'll just stand on the bed and do that crazy dance. And she'll just, well, okay, I'm getting out. I'll get out. But that's what I'm saying. You have to come out that comfort zone and just do something crazy and stupid, you know.
I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I co-sign on that 150%, because what I have realized is when I'm relaxed enough to be silly and be myself, which, you know, is pretty much all the time, but, you know, you have to really feel a comfort level in order to do that. And when you've been in something for a long time, sometimes, again, you can either take the person for granted or it just becomes the same. Or you do the same thing. You go to the movies on Friday instead of, you know, going to a live jazz concert outside at the park, or you go to the beach, but you don't think about, hey, let's do a water sport activity, or you go on vacation, but you do the same thing the same way every single time. So pattern interrupt, folks. He's saying pattern interrupt, and not just in terms of the way and the times that you do things, but also the how, you know, just, and he also mentioned, I heard you say, you know, it doesn't have to cost anything. You were dancing in the bed, doing something really silly. It was absolutely free, but it afforded him an opportunity to make his wife laugh. Now, she went to sleep. That may not be some of the men's point in trying to add in some spark. But either way, either going to sleep laughing comfortably or staying awake and engaging, is either way is a good thing. That's all I'm going to say about that subject. And we're about at time for our first break. And I want to before we go to our first break, I want to let folks know that you're listening to OMG, the Omar Gale Radio Show. I also want to remind you that we have podcasts available and syndicated through iTunes app, Google Play app, as well as the Stitcher app. And, of course, we're under the umbrella of Up To Me Radio. That's up the number 2 radio .com. That's who we're under the umbrella of. And so we invite you to search Up To Me Radio on either one of those apps and then look for OMG, the Omar Gale Radio Show, and you'll find us. They're ready to disseminate information to you. So we'll be right back after these brief announcements with more from Dr. Rael Sims on our newest segment called Keeping It Real with Rael. We'll be back.
We want to thank today's sponsor, Up To Me Magazine, a new uplifting and inspiring magazine with stories of purposeful living, such as Meet the Minimalist, the story and journey of Ryan Nicodemus and Joshua Milburn. Less stuff, more meaningful life. And an up-close and personal conversation with Will Haygood, author and associate producer of the acclaimed film The Butler by Lee Daniels, and so much more. So get your subscription today at uptomemagazine.com. That's up, the number 2 magazine.com. And what's your story? Now we return back to our program.
OMG, welcome back to OMG, the Omar Gale Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gale, and my special guest today is none other than Dr. Ryel Sims. And we have launched and introduced a new segment called Keeping It Real with Ryel. There'll be monthly chats about relationships, so I encourage you to leave your questions in my inbox on social media. On Facebook, I'm at Mara Gale, and you can also reach Dr. Ryel Sims. Give your handle for Facebook social media in case people want to leave questions inbox.
Yeah, you could have the Relationship Sciences on Facebook, or you can also Google the Relationship Sciences or Dr. Ryel. It's just several, but yeah, it's all out
for
there.
Them to leave questions, they can do that. So on Facebook is the best way, maybe. Okay,
oh, yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, Facebook also, or on the website too as well. Mm-hmm.
Perfect, perfect. And he's always doing some kind of chat on Facebook, so you can kind of chime in, and he will probably get to know you as I've come to know some of our longtime listeners since we've been on the air. Okay, so Ryel, you know, our headline question tonight is why women shouldn't be faithful to their boyfriends. And I'm going to get to that. But before I get to that, I also had someone ask me what is the difference between two seemingly similar topic, but they're actually very different, I think. So I'd love to hear your take on it. What's the difference between in love versus true love?
Yeah. Well, you know, the word in love should really be replaced with the word true love. Because really, in love is just the beginning stage of the relationship. In love is that infatuation that you have, that altered state of consciousness, that euphoria, that, oh, my God, nothing's ever going to happen wrong in our relationship. And our relationship is totally perfect. And this is just, you know, something that no one else will ever experience. Our relationship is the best. Well, that is something that everybody actually experiences in the beginning of a relationship. In other words, falling in love takes no effort. We all can fall in love. It's very easy to fall in love. In love is just that new, fresh, oh, my God, right? And it takes effort to get into the stage when you go to the next level for true love. And see, what happens is sometimes, too, is that when we are gradually getting to that point of true love, you know, things may be happening. We may start learning different things about the other person. And we think, oh, my God, I'm learning all of these things, and I don't know if I really like this person or not. And that is actually the effort part now. This is the situation where you're going to be in, where everybody's in, actually. We're all in that situation and that particular step. And that's when it's time now to work at it. And, you know, there is, back in the day, there was a thing that was called, remember the 7-year itch, right?
Yes, yes.
And that's the same thing. And it, now it's down to 2 to 4 years. And that means within that fourth year, this is now the time that you're going to have to start working at your relationship. Now you're starting to learn some things that you didn't know about the person, because we step in, you know, we kind of hide some of the things when we get into a relationship. Or what is it? We put our best foot forward, right? And we don't disclose a lot of things just yet. So now we start disclosing some things. And we start getting to learn, oh, my God, you know, he closed the toothpaste in the middle, you know, and I don't like that. I like, you know, I like squeezing it from the end, right? And so now these are the things that you know, well, is it that important for me to break up this relationship, or is it something that I can actually deal with, right? And sometimes we are so addicted to relationships, we are addicted to that altered state of consciousness. We're so addicted to that euphoria. We're so addicted to that high. We're so addicted to what we were talking about earlier about the serotonin, the norepinephrine, the oxytocin, the phenylephrine. All of those are natural chemicals that get us high, right? And we're so addicted to that that when it dies down a little bit, we think it's time to break up. So we're ready to leave. And that becomes, we become a serial monogamous dater, right? Because what we're looking for is actually that high again. Sort of like, you know, I mean, again, we have those natural chemicals, and those natural chemicals makes us high. And it's no different than someone being addicted on a drug. So what happens is that when someone first takes that first hit of a drug, and it's like, totally awesome. And then what do they do? They want to try to chase that same type of high, right?
Yes, and, they do.
And so that's what's happening in a relationship when you're noticing, hey, well, you know, I don't feel that wow, that bang, bang high, you know, and I don't think we need to be together anymore. We leave a really good relationship because we're at the stage now where true love is kicking in. And this is where you put effort into the relationship, you know. So there's a big difference. You don't put effort in falling in love. You fall in love, you know. I mean, of course, you also make a decision whether you want to fall in love with this person. But, again, those feelings of what you think is in love, again, like I said, in love should be replaced to the true love. But in love is actually that first beginning stage. Yeah.
You know, what's really interesting? It sounds like, and, you know, and of course, it's because when we spoke the last time, we were talking about why people end up, you know, they're saying they're attracting this or why they keep dating the same person. And you shared with us the reality is we're attracting, you know, it's almost like a drug in that we there's something we identify in that person and we want more of it. You know, we just want more of it. So you go to the next person and they have that same thing. And as I'm listening to you talk about, you know, true love versus in love or falling in love, it's almost as if, you know, drug addicts, of course, when they want their high, when they're interested, when they're chasing that high, chasing that genie, they're always in search of that same exact high again, and they'll never reach that very first one, it seems. So they continue to chase the invisible genie, the invisible ghost, trying to get that high, that same joy, that same excitement, that same euphoric feeling that you just mentioned. And so people do that in relationships, and they're serial daters, and they're serial cheaters, or they're serial breakuppers, you know, because they'll never quite have, they can't live in that state. That is a mountaintop moment, not meant to be carried throughout the centuries and the years. It is a mountaintop moment, and then you have to find the solid rocks or the solid reason on
That's
which
right.
the relationship should bud, should grow, should bloom, should develop. And it is not going to be all peaches and cream, and it's not going to be happy every single day. It's going to have some hiccups. It's going to have some flaps, some sag, and some whole other things. And if you can't process that everybody's real and human and it's not going to be that euphoric stage, you end up darting and dodging and leaving and dumping. Like you said, instead of the 7-year itch, it's the 2 or the 3-year itch, and people are wandering and roaming and doing all this crazy stuff. I never understood it, though, Rael, until you just kind of broke it down, that it's because we're in search of the instant high and gratification of that.
Oh, yeah, and it feels good. A new relationship feels good. It's like, oh, you know, you're so high off of it. You're telling people, you know, you're calling up your girlfriends or your guy friends. You're like, oh, man, you know, she makes me feel really good. And then when it starts to die down, which is natural. I mean, that's just natural. That's going to happen. That has happened to every relationship, every couple. And you think, well, you know, it's time for me to go. And it's understandable that you go out. And remember, remember we talked about before how the drug dealer, if the drug dealer was put in jail, you still go out seeking another drug dealer, right? You know, so that's the same thing. You go out and you start seeking another person to get you high again. you know. So
yes.
you find something, and I know everybody's experienced this before, where they had a friend that said, you know, now I'm dating somebody else again. Now I'm dating somebody else again. It's like, oh my God, you know, this person never stays in a long term relationship, right? Because
yes.
they're constantly chasing that high. They're constantly getting high off of new relationships. And then as soon as it dies down, they'll find a reason to leave that relationship. And because, again, why? It takes effort. And some of us are just too lazy to, as well, to put that effort into that relationship. So it's easier to leave and to find something new that you don't have to work at the relationship. You don't have to communicate. You don't have to understand each other's communication. You don't have to understand each other's theories, views, ideologies. You don't have to understand one's ways. You don't have to understand each other's needs, wants, and requirements, non-negotiables, right? You know, that takes a lot to people. To people, that's like, oh, that's too much. That's too much. I don't want to have to do that. It's easier.
I love what you just said, because the non-negotiables and the ideology and the do's, the don'ts, the deal breakers and all of that, those are real pieces of I'm going to call it baggage, but not in the negative connotation that it normally means,
yeah.
which is the bad thing. It is when we move in, when people merge, you bring something to the table. Now, you bring luggage, and that luggage is, it could be your clothes, it could be your household goods, it could also be your experiences and the things that have shaped you and turned you into who it is that you are. You bring all of that into the relationship, and so does the other person. So what I'm hearing you say, I believe, is if you've got 50 years of experience, 50 years of breakups and makeups, and 50 years of being influenced by your parents or not influenced by your parents being around, and then I come with my whole set of experiences and do's and don'ts and experiences and influences of my parents and or siblings, then we both come to the relationship, the two whole individuals with two different backgrounds and upbringing, and then you're forced in this situation where you have to merge and or get along and play fairly in the sandbox, and not as if you're at a park for 2 hours on a play date, but you're actually doing life together. And so what I hear you saying is,
yes.
when you are taking the easy route of falling in love and dealing with just the euphoric part of it, you're not interested or trying to understand. You're not interested or trying to empathize and or mold or compromise on some areas that are that need to be compromised on, or just the basic, I want to get to know you so well, I want to understand you so well that I'm going to reserve the areas that I thought were deal breakers in maybe another relationship. I'm going to reserve that because with you, it may be completely different based on why you do what you do.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
so as I was listening to you talk, you know, sometimes some people say, well, I don't like a guy who, you know, doesn't, let's use some gentleman things. Like somebody may not like a guy who doesn't walk on the outside of the curb, you know, when they're walking down the street, for example.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I love chivalry. I believe it's alive and well. And so I demand it. And I say that in a loose way, not like I'm bossing somebody around, but I like the respect. I like how it feels. And I surrender. I do not have a problem with not reaching for a doorknob, a chair, or my coat. I will sit there and allow you to be the man that you desire to be. Now, some women may not like that. So if a man meets a woman and she's the one reaching for the door all the time, now for some women, it may be a deal breaker for him. But if he realized that this woman who reaches for the door and reaches for the chair needs to be loved out of that situation, loved out of having to take control, and loved into surrendering and trusting enough to allow him to be in control, then that's a game changer for the relationship. But, but the person has to see that in them and want to work with it, meaning believe that they're pliable, believe and understand that maybe perhaps they're reaching for the door because they never had a man to open the door for them. They've
That's
never
right.
trusted a man to do those things that women should enjoy and or require, for that matter.
That's right.
And so if a man is willing to take the time, then that may work. And the same for a woman. I believe I'm hearing you. If a woman meets a man and he's not opening up about his emotions, and for some, that may be a deal breaker. But if you understand this man was hurt when he was 16 and then gave his heart to another woman at 25 and was hurt again, so when you meet him at 40, he still has some scars on that thing, you may be less likely to dump him because he's not opening up emotionally. Mm-hmm. You may be more willing to understand the why behind what he does, which, of course, colors why you'll stay or why you'll go or why you'll be patient in that and not make that a deal breaker.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why it's so important. Yes, that's why it's so important to understand all those things that you just said and to know that, you know, you do have to work at the relationship in order to have a vitalized, harmonious, cohesive working relationship. And I think it's so important. Yeah. Yeah, very well said. So, I mean, absolutely.
Thank you. I mean, I learn every time I talk to you, Rael, and that's on air and off air. I grow. I grow by leaps and bounds. That's why I couldn't keep it to myself. You know, you're the kind of gift in terms of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and to be able to articulate breaking it down the way that you do. You're the kind of gift that needs to be opened, time and time again. I need to sit the gift in front of people, whether they're driving in the street listening to it on a podcast, cooking in the kitchen listening to it on a podcast, or tuning in live while they're, you know, at work or at the gym. You're the kind of gift that needs to be experienced and opened. And so our takeaway for our listeners in this segment from the question, you know, in love versus true love would be, if I were to sum it up, it's easy to fall in love because falling in love is euphoric. It's happy. It's joyous. It doesn't require any effort, any energy. And the only time it requires is the time you want to give up in order to spend with somebody to get that euphoric feeling. However, there's an effort that has to be applied in order to experience true love, because seeks to understand. True love seeks to mold with and not just get. So it's about a reciprocal relationship versus a one-sided, I'm going to get euphoric, I'm going to be happy, and then if I'm not happy, it's like taking your toy out of the sandbox and walking away and on to the next victim. Ooh,
absolutely. And thank you for the compliment, too. And thank you for the compliment. I appreciate it, too, as well.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You are more than welcome.
Yes, you're so right. It's like a little kid, and, you know, you just like, you don't want to now. It's all about you. It's just all about you and your happiness. And when you're not happy anymore, I mean, and it's really not that you're not happy. It's the fact that you are not getting that euphoric, that new altered state of consciousness thing, you know. And, I mean, and don't get us wrong. You're still going to have that, but that's why you have to put effort in it. And just like we spoke before about the novelty, right? You know,
adding
more
novelty,
that's what's going to keep the spark in. That's what's going to keep it going. And that takes what?
Yeah.
Effort.
Effort. Energy.
It takes effort. So if you don't want to stand on the bed, if you don't want to go someplace new, if you don't want to do those things, you don't want to put effort in it in the relationship, right? And I'm just using that as a metaphor. You don't have to stand in your bed, but I'm just saying whatever you come up with to keep that relationship fresh, keep it new.
Yeah.
You know, I mean it's just so bad to hear someone say we don't do anything, or you know you have a couple that is at a dinner, I mean, a gathering, and everybody's sitting around talking about what they're doing. And then you have somebody says, well, we don't really do much. That's not a good thing to say, especially in front of people, too, but it means a whole lot if somebody says it. It means a whole lot.
Yeah.
Because that's what's been on their minds for a very long time, is that we don't do anything. But it happens to come out, you know, there at that particular dinner or gathering with family or friends, you know, so it's very important.
That's almost like something like that. It is, I think, their internal dissatisfaction with a reality that they have tolerated. And it's almost like maybe it'll create a conversation or generate a thought for the other person
to go. And generating action is putting effort into our relationship.
And, you know, Rael, when you were talking, it kind of reminded me, sometimes you run across people and they buy a new car and they're all excited about the new car. They don't eat in the new car. they clean it every week, and they make sure nobody else can eat in the car. You know, they park someplace, they're checking it for scratches and dings.
Yeah.
They're parking not next to anybody. They park at the corner because, you know, they know they can park close to the curb so that nobody can park next to them. You know, they do all of these things with this new shiny car, and then you
That's
see
right.
them in a year, and they got McDonald's in the back seat. They got mail on the floor. They're dropping soda all between the cracks and the crevices of things. And that's how we do with our relationships. When we're in the novelty stage, it seems as if when we're in the novelty stage, it's like it's the brand new car. It's shiny. It's new. It smells like new car. That's why they got a new car air freshener. It smells new.
Yeah.
It looks new. And we treat it well. We keep it clean. We make sure we don't abuse it. We make sure we don't hurt it. We make sure we don't spill things on it to damage it or tear it or rip it. Why wouldn't we take better care of a human being, their emotions, and who they are to us than we do a car? Do we treat
That's
that
right.
person with that level of respect to make sure we don't hurt them, to make sure we don't tear and damage them, to give them back, you know, make them look better than they did when they came with us, simply because
Amen.
We compliment them and the smile they wear looks better than that St. John outfit that she could buy in a store or that Rolex watch he could put on his wrist? How about we go there? Oh, don't get me to preaching right now.
Yeah.
Don't get me to preaching today.
No.
I
got to
take
preaching.
A break. I got to take a break right now. I got to take a break because you know what, folks? When we come back from this next break, we're going to break down to the marrow the subject you've been waiting to hear, the one that he whet our appetite and our whistle on a while ago, and we're going to talk about why women shouldn't be faithful to their boyfriends. Ouch. I know some of y'all hurt. I know the brothers out there, you tuning in going, what? What are you saying? We're going to tell you. We're going to explain it. Rael's going to break down the science, and I'm going to give the sidekick point of view. You're listening to OMG, the Old Mara Gale Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gale. And, of course, this is our newest segment called Keeping It Real with Rael, their monthly relationship chat. And tonight's topic is why women shouldn't be faithful to their boyfriend. When we come back, we're going to tell you all about it after this short announcement.
I'm on OMG, Omura Gale. Her show prevails like Kenan and Kale. I'm here for fame, so put respect on my name, because if you think it's a game, then I'm going to put you to shame. Omura Gale.
OMG, welcome back to OMG, the Omura Gale Radio Show. I am your host, Mara Gale, and of course, my special guest for this Keeping It Real with Rael segment, monthly relationship chats, is none other then Dr. Rael Sims, and we know you've been waiting to find out what's the deal behind our cliffhanger question, so I'm going to give Rael an opportunity to explain. But I want to let you know, when we talk about why women shouldn't be faithful to their boyfriends, it's probably not what you're thinking. I'm sure we're not talking about cheating. I'm sure we're not talking about, having 4, 5, and 6 to 8 boyfriends. Rael, I'm sure, has a scientific explanation as to why women shouldn't be faithful to their boyfriends. And if you stick around, you're going to hear about it. And I want to remind you again that we're doing monthly relationship chats called Keeping It Real with Rael. My show is on, of course, every Thursday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, and 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Rael, break down the deal. Why women shouldn't be faithful to their boyfriend? You got some explaining to do. You got some explaining to do. Tell the people what's going on.
Okay, can I start with a story, a quick story? When I was in college, I met a young lady on campus, and I was just so happy. We were talking about some things, and I had just realized that I had gotten an A on my paper, and we were getting really deep and about whatever subject it was about the brain. And there were so many different seminars that were coming up about neuroscience, and I wanted to tell her about those seminars. And so I asked her if I can call her and let her know, you know, when they come up. And she said, She said no. And I said, and I was confused. I didn't know if that you did not want to know about the conversation or no, I couldn't call you, right? And so I was confused. I said, so I asked, I said, which is it, you know, calling or not letting you know? She said, no, calling. And I said, oh, I can't call you? And she said, no, my boyfriend wouldn't like that. And so I said, oh, okay.
Wow.
But what happened was, I understand that how us men, we come on to women, and that's the next question is to ask for the telephone number, right, to stay in contact.
Right.
But
right.
I was truly sincere about really, you know, having someone that I was in a deep conversation with, that we had a good connection, a good chemistry
mm-hmm.
about neuroscience, right?
Mm-hmm,
And then I truly wanted to, like, let you know about when the next events or something that's coming up. I want to be able to call you and let you know. So it was really coming from my heart. So it hurt me, really, too. It also hurt when she really said, no, you can't have my telephone number. But the thing is, I respect not having your telephone number. But what you kept
yeah.
saying to me was, my boyfriend wouldn't like it. You kept saying that. And
yeah.
at this point, I was like, okay. So you keep saying your boyfriend wouldn't like this. And we got into a long conversation. I'm making it short. Got into a long conversation, and it got to the point where she had asked me, well, I said, oh, so you guys are getting married soon? And she said, no. I said, have you guys thought about getting married? She said, no. And I said, wow, you guys have been together for a long time and you've never talked about marriage. I said, the only reason why I'm asking that is because you seem very devoted,
committed mm-hmm.
and faithful to your boyfriend. And so she said, yeah, I am. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, yeah, no, you know, I was just wondering because you were so animated about not giving your number. And I thought, you know, hey, you know, she's about to get married and, you know, she's in this real strong commitment. And I respect that. And she says, no, I doubt if we ever, you know, if we even get married. And I was like, wow, really? I was like, well, how could you be so faithful, so committed, so devoted into this relationship? You know, I said, I really understand, but he actually has so much power over you. You know, do you realize
mm.
that? And so she said, well, you know, she got a little offended, you know, and asked me, she said,
and
well,
or defensive.
You know, yes. And said, well, you know, if what about your girlfriend? You know, wouldn't you tell your girlfriend that you, she asked me, would I tell my girlfriend that I'd be faithful, committed, and devoted to her? And you know what? I shocked her. And I said, well, actually, you mean verbally would I tell her that? And she said, yeah. And I said, no, I would never tell her that, and I have never told any of my girlfriends that I would be faithful, committed, and devoted to her. So she freaked out, and she was like, wait a minute. So then I had to clear it to her, too, as well. I said, look, I know
where you're going. I can feel it coming. Go ahead on. You act
said,
like you were
look.
From Missouri, didn't you?
I said, look, I'm not saying that I will just go out and start having affairs on my girlfriend and everything and start sleeping with a lot of women, you know, knowing that I have a girlfriend. But the point is that I would not tell her. And I told her, I said, I've had many times where I've had this conversation. And what I'm asking my girlfriend is not to ask me to say those words to her. And the reason why I'm asking her for me not to say those words, because she's like, well, then you're going to go out and you're going to cheat on me if you can't say those words. She's like, no. You don't understand. Now, at this time when I was talking to her, I was going through a process of trying celibacy. I mean, eventually it didn't work out that well, but at that time.
But you tried. Some
I was
brothers
trying.
Don't try. So we're going to give you a hey to try.
Hey. So I was trying. But the thing was, what I learned during that process, even when I, you know, fell at it and you know, did it again, tried it again, the thing was is what I wanted her to understand, I could not get on my knees and pray to the person who I think that helped me get that A in my paper, to the person who I think that helped me get a job, that helps me wake up in the morning, that helps me make it from A to B safely.
Mm.
This person that I pray to, right, this person that I pray to, is that I could not get on my knees and pray to this person, to God, right, and to tell God that I am faithful, committed, devoted, and faithful to him, that I won't have sin, sex, that I won't have sin with my girlfriend, right?
Mm.
And knowing that a lot of us who are God-fearing, who goes to church, who believes in God, I know you're having sex with your boyfriend, right? But the problem is that you're actually worshiping your boyfriend because, you see, I can't get on my knees to tell God I'll be faithful, devoted, committed to him.
You better preach, Rael.
With you, my girlfriend, and so you're going to ask me to be faithful, committed, and devoted to you, but I can't even say that to God, who I know is helping me out in my life, who I know that got me this job,
Hallelujah.
Who I know that got me from A to B, who I know that put food
Hallelujah.
In my mouth, who I know that kept
Hallelujah.
A roof over my head, right? So the minute
Thank
I kill
you,
my
Lord.
Girlfriend, the minute I say, and help me out, Mari, what does it say? Paraphrasing, what does it say about the words that come out of your mouth, right?
Let there be no corrupt communication. Let there be no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Your yea shall be yea. That you cannot get good and bad from the same spout or faucet. I mean, it goes on and on about life and death and the power of the tongue.
And it's not so much that what
goes
into the mouth, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man.
Yes,
right.
And it talks about a vow. A vow is a promise, right? And it says it's better to not vow than to vow and not pay. So if you're going to promise, if you're going to promise to be committed and faithful and devoted to somebody and then you're not going to do it, then why make the promise? He says,
then
God's
why
word
make
says,
the promise?
It's
don't
better
do
to
it.
Not. There you go. Better to
just
not.
Don't do it. Don't make that promise. So what we do is we actually make that promise to our boyfriend, girlfriend, right? And now I tell you, girlfriend, I tell you, okay, all right, I'll be faithful, committed, and devoted to you sexually, and I won't go out. And so what I'm saying to you is that I'm being faithful to you sexually. But I'm not telling God that I'll be faithful to him by not having sex with my girlfriend. So once I tell you that, girlfriend, soon as I tell you that, girlfriend, what happens? What does that make you? You become my
worship.
God.
You make my God.
You become my God. And now I am worshiping you as the God. So when I go to God and say, hey, God, I need your help for a minute, what would God say? Hey, whoa, no. Hey, bro.
He's like, no.
Go to your God.
No. You
go
got
to
some,
your God.
You got some other people before me. Go to
yeah,
the God
you got some
worship.
Other people
go
before
one.
Me.
Did you bow? Yes.
You got some other people before me. And God say, serve no other God before me, for I am a what? Jealous God.
Right?
And so now you go and so how many people that are in relationships right now today that can even have a greater relationship with God and themselves and their career that they are not putting that person first over God? You see what I'm saying? You know, because we are so addicted. We can become so addicted. When we're talking about all those different chemicals, we're talking about the ventral tegmental area that's sending dopamine to the caudate nucleus, the nucleus accumbens, and next thing you know, it tells the prefrontal cortex that I guess this is the new norm, that the new norm is that you don't have the God that's in heaven. The new norm is that you have the God that's right here, that's your boyfriend. So you worship God. How many men have gone to fight, have beaten up other men because you looked at my girlfriend and you weren't even thinking about marrying her? Now you're in prison because you didn't kill somebody. How many girls that went and crashed somebody's car, bammed your boyfriend's car windows out and all that, and y'all weren't even thinking about a serious relationship? You're not even dating for a purpose. You're not even dating for that purpose to get married.
There's no end game in mind. That makes so much sense. I know my listeners are just like losing their mind right now because you broke that thing down so clearly. He says no other gods before me. And when we begin to worship other people and put them in a place of priority that's over the giver of life, the giver of breath, the giver of the sustainer of everything, in him I move and live and have my being, that's who God is to me. And so when we begin to put these boyfriends in front of those, in front of him, or girlfriends in front of him, and or make commitments and promises to a human over the deity, God the Father and the Son, Abba Father, it is so completely out of order. I understand now why women should not be faithful to their boyfriend. And we can even break that thing down another notch.
why men shouldn't be faithful to their girlfriends. Now, I got to give a pre-qualifier on that. That don't mean when we're talking to you guys, we're not saying go out and cheat on your boyfriend or cheat on your girlfriend. We're saying be committed and devoted to the lover of your soul. Commit to him first. And then once you have that order, once you have the pecking order and priority in its proper place, then he will touch and season the relationships that you're in, the boyfriend and girlfriend relationship, so that you can set it on a trajectory that actually has a purpose. Dating is for gathering information. Am I right about it right now? Dating is gathering
data. What it's for.
It's gathering information. It's gathering data. And so if you're gathering data in the dating process, then you shouldn't be like the husband and the wife. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Because gathering data, it's not about playing house. It's not playing house with your boyfriend or your girlfriend.
That's right.
Gathering data is a communication. Bingo.
That's right.
And it goes back to what you talked about in terms of falling in love was easy, but getting to know someone and having true love, there's an effort and an energy that must be applied. And a part
of
that effort and the energy is the gathering data part. Because when I gather enough data about you, let's say, Rael, I may know, hey, this data right here does not compute with who I am. Therefore, the end game of the data I'm gathering with you is to put you in the friend category and not the forever and happily ever after category. But because we bypass the data gathering part of relationship and jump into the let's play mom and dad in the house part of the relationship and become faithful to the boyfriend or faithful to the girlfriend in this case and not allowing God to be the one that we should be faithful and committed to, then we again set the whole thing out of order, and then we wonder why our jobs aren't successful, why our lives aren't prospering, why our finances are dwindling, and why we got more mileage on our nana than you can even put on a car. That's
Absolutely.
What ends up happening when you got it out of order. Woo!
And it goes back to what you said before. Repeat the verse again. It goes back to what you said before when you said, if you can't do it, then don't do it right now. Right?
Yep, that's
don't
the
make
vow.
That commitment.
It says,
so
better
don't
than
not say
vow.
It.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. And you can't.
If you
can't
pay it, don't say it if you can't pay it.
That's right. That's right. So when somebody's asking
you
and begging you to say it, just say, hey, don't ask me to say that, please, because I would want to say that to my God. I would want to say it to God because what we're doing is what we should not be doing. So don't ask me to be faithful into it, you know, and worship each other because that's what's happening right now, each other and worshiping each other as God. Right?
Yeah.
They are
I mean, you remember, you know, it reminds me of when you have an, you know, going back to the new relationships and it's all shiny and new. You wake up in the morning, you think about the person and you call it. Well, what happened to the bend the knees and talk to the one who's giving you the air, who kept you safe at night, woke you up that morning,
allowed you to
be able to speak with words out of your mouth, your heart to beat, and your fingers to punch the telephone button to call the person that you're about to have a conversation with before you had a conversation with the great I am. Let's go back to that point. Let's go back to that point because that in fact is what ends up happening. The shiny and the new novelty situation. You want to talk to the person every day and you're talking to them so late in the night you're falling asleep on the telephone, which means what? You're not talking to God before you go to bed.
Right, exactly.
And then you're waking up with them on your mind. So before you can even go get you a cup of coffee, you're trying to have a conversation with the one who's stirring cream in your mind. You get what I'm saying?
That's
because it is soul ties, and we're going to have to talk about that the next
time,
because the
soul ties
that get developed once you begin into me see, which is intimacy, you allow somebody into me see, intimacy where he knows you and you know him, you've now set yourself up for something that is desire, like the drug. You've now got that drug in you, and you want more of it, and ain't nothing going to stop you. So it's how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? How often do you want it? How often can you get it? And you don't even know why the Pavlov dog bell is ringing for you, and why when he walks in a room or his voice comes across the phone or she walks into the room and her voice comes across the phone, you don't even know why you jump the way you jump and want to do what you do, and you don't know why you lose your mind and will kill somebody or want to kill somebody or get into a jealous rage behind somebody.
That's right.
It's because he has put something in you, the woman, the receiver, your body now wants and desires that thing, and he has received something from you, and he wants that thing.
That's
But the reality is, the way that God set it up, the reason that the two become one after you get married is because once he merges the two, it's not just about the physical, of course. It is about becoming one flesh. in one him. Flesh. Not that you're two going
right.
to morph into one person. It just
yes.
means you're going to be on one accord, purposefully walking towards one goal, and you'll be working and walking together. That's the
together.
Key to becoming one. Together,
together.
In unity.
And,
the word says, how
so
can...
great. And you said something
yeah,
so
that?
Great, too, because you, when you said, and you know, people will end up doing evil things for each other,
mm-hmm.
just for that.
Mm-hmm.
Just that's right. You're right. And I mean, with those TV shows that they have out now, Fatal Attractions, Snap, For My Man.
Get this, Rael. There was a woman not too long ago, and we got to go because our show's got to end. But there was
a woman who
ended up running a truck into a girl. Yeah, she was against a tree because the girl and her had beef about some guy. And she rammed into this girl, backed up, rammed into this girl.
I mean, shattered her.
The first time she hit her, it shattered her body. The woman died, and now the other woman is going to be on trial. So, but that's
yes.
the kind of rage and craziness that happens when
you
get mixed in and your soul ties start happening and these rage, it's like the drug. She was
that's
no
right.
different than a person strung out on crack cocaine,
no
heroin, or anything else because
no
in
different.
That moment she had temporarily lost her mind.
That's right. Absolutely.
And all that mattered to her was that end result. Rael, keeping it real
yeah.
with Rael, monthly relationship chat. We're going to be doing these monthly relationship chats third Thursday of every month. That's the third Thursday of every month. And I'm pretty sure we're going to have to expand it to bi-monthly, but we're going to start off with the third Thursday of every month. Our special guest in every single third Thursday will be none other than Dr. Rael Sim, who is a relationship expert. Our segment will be called Keeping It Real with Rael. Rael, real briefly, just share a couple of social media. Actually, share your website and your main social media handle. I'll do the same. We'll close it out, and then I'll meet you again on this phone conversation in about 4 weeks.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you can find me, the Relationship Scientist, or Dr. Rael Sims .com website, or the Relationship Scientist .com, and you can reach me there. And there's telephone numbers there too as well. And you can also, if you want to book me for speaking, I speak to youth as well. I used to speak with Tavis Smiley. We used to tour all over the United States and talk to the youth to leaders, and I talk in prisons, college, anything, everything. Yeah, so thank you
That's
so
awesome.
Much. Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome, Rael. You know, everybody needs this kind of information, and that's why I said you're a gift, and you need to be unwrapped. And
oh, no,
you're
a gift,
share
too,
you
though.
And pass you on. Thank you.
Thank
you.
Too,
thank you so much.
I mean, once
thank
you
so
go,
much.
you start spitting out. I'm like, I'm listening now. I sit back, and I eat the popcorn, and I'm like, yes.
Man, you're fueling it. So I thank you so much for being my special guest. I thank you for agreeing and saying yes to these monthly relationship chats, because I think men and women both need to learn and grow from the information that's inside your mind and what you went to school to study and the experience you have as a coach and an expert in the field. I thank
yes.
you so much for that. His name is R-Y-E-A-L, Rial, and that's S-I-M-M-S, that's 2 M's. And, of course, you can reach me, Maura Gale, on all social media, at Maura Gale. That's M-A-U-R-A-G-A-L-E. And I'm live every single Thursday night, OMG, the Maura Gale Radio Show at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. You can reach me on my website, MauraGale.com, no Y, no I in Gale. And, of course, you can also find us, Up to Me Radio and UpToMeRadio.com. We appreciate you. We pray that God blesses you, and we pray that if this information was helpful and informative for you, that you won't keep us a secret, that you'll pass it along, share the links that we post, and tell someone else that every third Thursday we're doing Keeping It Real with Rael. You know there are people out there struggling in relationships. You know that there are people out there whose marriages are failing. You know that there are people out there that are fornicating and being promiscuous. If you'd like to give them some help and like them to be encouraged and or yourself, tune in every third Thursday for Keeping It Real with Rael, our monthly relationship chat. God bless you. I love you. And until next time, tune in, lean in, and listen up. OMG. Thanks, Rael.
Thank you.
That's me. can't wait to give you the answers to the questions you've been wanting. Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to. So we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. Oh.